96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. An economic boom could be coming to communities east of the river in Washington, D.C. These communities have not had the economic success seen in more prosperous parts of the city for decades. But that may be changing as D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has plans to inject some vibrancy into Wards 7 and 8. So what is the plan? Well, joining me to talk about that is Brian Kenner, D.C. Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development. If you have any questions or comments about tonight's program or anything that you hear from Mr. Kenner, you're certainly welcome to give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And certainly you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Mr. Kenner, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about the mayor's plan coming out of her Neighborhood Prosperity Fund. She made an announcement this week. Kind of give me the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, so the Neighborhood Prosperity Fund was really born out of, I'd say, more of a need than anything else. We were noticing that in many of our mixed-use developments, so those are developments that include residential, retail, office, or other uses, not just homes or apartments for people, that we were having these, that developers and folks were telling us that they had these gaps, these financial gaps, to make sure in particular that the retail part worked. That was sort of on one side. On the other side, you know, very much on the community side, we were hearing that there was an absence of quality retail. And in particular, grocery or food options. And so hearing these two things earlier this year, really under the mayor's leadership, we decided to put out a new source of funding called the Neighborhood Prosperity Fund, which would be available only for these kinds of projects that were proposing to do residential but also retail or office. And in particular, we were looking at ways that we could support food service opportunities. So it's either a grocer or other sort of food distribution sort of methods there. And so we put about $3 million into a fund, and we were very happy. We got lots of interest in the fund, and we were able this week to announce two awards that would be coming. One of the other specifications for the Neighborhood Prosperity Fund is that to be a project that was eligible, you had to be in a census tract that had greater than 10% unemployment. And really what that meant is that more than likely that meant that you were either going to be located in a census tract that was in 7, 8, or some areas of wards 4 or 5 were the only people that were going to be eligible for a potential award. But we were very happy. We got lots of interest in it. I think we awarded two great projects. One in Ward 7 and one in Ward 8. And
so what are the projects and what kind of – how much money are we talking about?
Yeah. So the entire fund was about $3 million. Right. And so one of the projects that's in Ward 7 is about $2 million, and then the other one is roughly about $1 million. The one that's in Ward 7 is for a project called Shops at Penn Hill. What I would call it is Penn Branch Shopping Center, which is probably more familiar to people. And that is to help with a grocer to go back there, actually. As most people probably maybe remember, there used to be a Safeway that was located at Penn Branch Shopping Center. It closed many years ago. But there are ongoing negotiations around getting a new grocer to go there. And then for the project located in Ward 8, that is for a smaller format grocery store, Good Foods Market, which is also located – I think on Rhode Island Avenue right now as well, and they may have another location someplace else in the city. That one's going to go in that location.
In the Ward 7 award, do you know what kind of grocery store, who is coming?
Yeah, I know that the developer has been advancing discussions with a few. I think that they're down to one. I'm not personally at liberty to say which one yet, but
I mean, is this a major chain? Or?
It's a larger format grocer, so yes, it's a more major chain.
Household name?
It would be, I believe, a name that many people would know.
The reason I ask that is because, as you suggested, there used to be a Safeway, and this attempt to bring grocery stores to Ward 7 and 8 is not a new thing.
True.
This has been going on for many, many decades, and quite unsuccessfully, to my recollection, even going all the way back to the Barry administration. What makes you think that it's going to work this time?
Yeah, I think what's changed is a few things. One is that Washington continues to expand, and that expansion means that growth and development has to continue to occur in places where perhaps it did not. That's one of the reasons why we feel good about the progress that's happening at Skyline Shopping Center right now. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to make, on the city side at least, we wanted to make sort of a big investment on the St. Elizabeth's East Campus located close to Congress Heights. And we're seeing a lot more interest just generally from retailers looking to go perhaps to areas that they haven't gone to because that's where the opportunity is. That's where people are continuing either moving or people are continuing to locate out in Washington, D.C. I think the second thing that's helpful around, this issue, especially for grocery stores, is that the grocery store industry is in flux right now. I think that the days of large format, 40, 50,000 square foot grocery stores with acres and acres of parking, especially in urban locations, we probably won't see too many more of those. Partially that's because I think people are demanding grocery and other retail to be closer to where they're located at. And what that largely means is that it's easier to find smaller pieces of land than bigger pieces of land close to people. And so smaller format grocery stores are much more aggressive right now. They're looking to go perhaps to areas that they haven't before. And, we're having a little bit more success talking to a grocery store that's going to be closer to 10 or 20,000, 30,000 square feet. So think Yes Organic Market, Mom's. Think Lidl, a new company that out of Germany that's thinking about coming here. Think some of the smaller format Harris Teeters and so forth. So smaller format grocery stores we're finding have much more interest in going lots of places in D.C.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about D.C. economic development plans for east of the river here in the District of Columbia. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Brandon calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Brandon. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I was just calling because I guess my main question is that even though we're talking about a lot of development that needs to happen over in the Ward 7 and 8, my main concern is that even though we're thinking about, expanding, which, is desperately needed, has anyone ever thought about, the financial aspect of it? Because the thing about it is that as these things do come over, which are desperately needed, they are going to make things a little bit more expensive. They are going to make things a bit more difficult for, people living in these areas, which are, generally where the poor residents of D.C. live. So I guess I just kind of wanted to ask, even with all the thought of development, has the, thought of, people's financial situation as well as, what they can and cannot afford, has that been taken into account when, thinking about bringing all the stuff over to, the more poor sides of D.C.?
Go right ahead.
Yeah. And yes, and I thank you very much for the call and for the comment. That's always a challenge, right? Whenever you have development anywhere, you're going to have implications and consequences that come from that. And one of the things that we have tried to be very focused on is making sure that there are ample resources available for affordable housing, making sure that there are resources available for small businesses, many of which have been there for many years and who have gone through the good times and the bad times in these communities. And so on the affordable housing front, this mayor has I think committed in the last 3 years somewhere just around $350 million for affordable housing with a lot of that not necessarily being 100% focused in Ward 7 and 8, and that's purposeful, by the way, but focused really in all the areas of the city where we need affordable housing, and has further committed to continue to have about $100 million or so every year that she's in office. And that is one of, I think it actually is the largest per capita investment in affordable housing in the entire country. You know, on the small business front, you know, the mayor has been very clear that we need to make sure that we provide room, whether you've been here, and her saying is whether you've been here 5 minutes or five generations, like she and her family have been. You know, we have a Great Streets program, a small business program that is geared towards making sure that we can provide some financial assistance to the businesses that have been here for many years on many important historic retail corridors, Martin Luther King Avenue Southeast, Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast. But also we can continue to incentivize if new entrepreneurs want to come to these corridors, that we also have some resources available to them. And so, yes, you know, we remain focused on making sure that the economic benefits that accrue from much of the development that's happening both now in D.C. as well as what could happen in the future really flows to as many people as possible.
Thank you so much, Brandon, for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about economic development in D.C., specifically east of the river, wards 7 and 8. What are the plans, and how will that impact the residents of those communities? I need to take a break, but if you're on the phone, that includes Maurice in D.C., Gwendolyn calling from D.C., Smith calling from Maryland. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program, and we're going to get to your questions in just a bit. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your phone calls in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio
41. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, my guest is Brian Kinner, D.C. Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development. And we're talking about plans for D.C. east of the Anacostia River. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go back to the phone lines. Maurice calling from D.C. What's on your mind, Maurice? Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing today?
Just fine.
Question is very similar to the question that was by Brandon, but I'm going to rephrase it. The rhetoric that I heard was Neighborhood Prosperity Fund, and I'm from the area, and my whole thing was when I see places like Mom's Shopping Centers and other more healthier options, I'm jubilant in response, but at the same time, it's kind of intimidating because when I hear things like make the community more vibrant, it tends to be for the transplant community that's moving into the city rather than the people who've been here for like five generations. So is there any part of, and specifically talking about neighborhood prosperity, is there any part of that program that allows for members that who are already in the community to be prepared for some of the new retail that's going to come in?
Yeah. You know, I thank you for the comment. And you know, the thing that we want to make sure about in Washington, D.C., I think, is that we have resources available for anybody. We do not say that those things are just available for people who are new. As a matter of fact, specifically for the Great Streets program, we make sure that we accommodate existing businesses in particular as they prepare for either new customers that can come or servicing or refreshing their storefronts for the existing customers that they have. You know, the thing that I think that makes Washington, Washington is that you have a mix of old and new. And there's very much that's part of the fabric of D.C. It's what makes it unique. But it also, you know, frankly, on the retail side, it's dollars and cents, too. It's valuable to have people who've been in the community many years continuing to be able to frequent and shop there, as well as preparing for any new residents that come. Whenever I go to a certain ANC meeting east of the river, I have the same ANC commissioner who I believe has lived in that community for over 30 years ask me the same question which is, Brian, when am I going to be able to buy a pair of pantyhose? Because right now she can't buy a pair of pantyhose in a store that's close to her neighborhood. And so we know that residents, both recent ones, but as important, if not more important, existing ones for many years, really are demanding these new opportunities they see other places in the city. And so we want to make sure, again, that we provide as many of those opportunities and make sure that they flow to as many people as possible.
Maurice, thank you so much for your phone call. I think one of the things that Maurice was also getting at is gentrification, because that is a concern of residents who have been here, particularly the black residents who have been here for whether it's five generations or one or two generations. And some looking on the outside would say that, again, Ward 7 and 8, they've been ignored or have been the subject of unsuccessful initiatives. Well, now we've got white people coming, and now everything's going to be bright, shiny, and new, and much more expensive. How do you ease the concerns of people who have been here for so long and believe that these changes are not for them?
Yeah, you know, and there's no way to speak to every single person's, every single person's immediate sort of wants and needs all at once, right? The same ANC commissioner that asked me, even though she's been in that community for years, for new amenities and retail, some other people are frightened by that because they know that change can mean lots of different things. And, you know, what we can do, I think, on the government side is make sure that we are focused on resources to support as many different people as possible. That is why we are so focused on affordable housing. That is why we're so focused on making sure that we have resources available for existing businesses to continue to serve there. That is why we are so focused on making sure that we have jobs available for people. We're happy to say over the last 3 years, the unemployment rate has gone down, but more specifically, the greatest decrease in unemployment has actually been in Ward 7 and Ward 8 in D.C. So, you know, there's no way that we can 100% say that that change won't be impactful to people. Change is impactful everywhere. But we need to make sure and be focused that we've got resources to support any potential negative consequences that come from that.
I do have some breaking news that I need to interrupt you briefly for. We are now getting reports that the suspect in the mass shooting in Harford County, 37-year-old Reddy Prince, has been arrested. That report just coming across, 37-year-old Reddy Prince. He is the suspect in the shooting of five, killing of three, and also the shooting of a sixth person in Delaware. The report that we are now getting right now is that he has been arrested. As that information becomes available, we will bring it to you. Let's continue with this conversation. Let's go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Gwendolyn calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Gwendolyn. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I would like to know, in regards to the development of creating the grocery stores in Ward 7 and 8, will any of the business that needs to be done by contractors be specifically awarded to Ward 7 and 8 contractors, as well as how much of a percentage of the jobs will go to Ward 7 and 8 residents? And will that just be wage jobs, or will that be jobs leading to careers as well?
Yeah, again, thanks for the question. Many of the developments, especially the ones that happen on district-owned land or that have a significant district subsidy, have to comply with the district's certified business entity, small business, small and disadvantaged business requirements, which require, I think, roughly, I'm just using general math, about a third of the contracting dollars have to go to CBE-related companies. As well as they have to comply with another requirement in the city that we have, which is called the first source requirement, which says that you've got to be focused. 51% of the new job opportunities have to go to D.C. residents. And so, you know, we're happy with projects like Skyland or St. Elizabeth's East Campus that we're going to be able to not only do that, but at St. Elizabeth's, as an example, We've also been able to work in a little bit more specifics around hiring targets for Ward 8 residents in particular. And I know that for the Skyland development, I know that the developer there has been very focused on making sure that Ward 7 residents are a part of the project, not only in terms of the construction, which are more temporary jobs, but they have a commitment to the long-term operations of that project also having significant D.C. and local residents part of it.
Gwendolyn, thank you so much for your phone call. I wanted to ask also, as D.C. changes, the suburbs are also changing. And there has been, for quite some time, some concern about the Washington Convention Center not being quite adequate to bring in, you know, big conferences, conventions, what have you. And now that you have National Harbor and we also have MGM over there, what is the plan, or is there concern within the administration that these two huge venues, not east of the river, but across the river and across the line, are going to impact, economic prosperity for the D.C. venues?
Yeah, you know, that's always a concern. You know, there seems to always be in major cities sort of a race to get the biggest or the shiniest or the newest convention center in particular. You know, the great thing I think about our convention center is that nationally, at least, you know, our convention center is not old by those standards. Moreover, the Convention Center Authority has plans right now, I think, for certain refreshes and rehabs that they want to do on the convention center. But, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, the thing that I think is going to continue to make Washington, D.C. competitive compared to any other sort of surrounding area is what we're selling. What we're selling is an urban environment. What we're selling is access to great shopping and a local feel for retail and restaurants and nightlife and world-class sporting events and, you know, I think, you know, world-class museums, most of which are free in the District of Columbia. And so if you're looking, if you're a convention goer, if you're a tourist, I think Washington this year, I think we were just north of 20 million tourists that came to D.C., which is a record for Washington. If you're looking for those kinds of amenities, then you should come to Washington. If you're looking to potentially be located in an area where you're sort of be on an island, I think that's more of what suburban locations in terms of their entertainment options probably convey. If you're looking for a place that's well served by transit, if you're looking for a place that you can walk generally to places or get around, again, I think Washington, D.C. is your destination of choice.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Smith calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Smith. What's on your mind? Smith, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Tierra calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Tierra. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi, go right ahead.
Yes, my question was, with all the development happening in D.C., what is the percentage of taxpayers' dollars that are being used towards these new developments? And then also, with the new developments being built, do you all plan to partner with small black businesses within that community as well?
Yeah. So again, for the one of the great things about the district playing at times such a large role because we own land east of the in many locations, but particularly east of the river in Washington, D.C., we can again implement our own requirements on that. An additional requirement that we have for our projects is that not only does roughly a third of the subcontracting dollars do they have to go to small DC-owned and disadvantaged businesses, but also on the equity side, so the participation, the actual development for the project also has to have a CBE requirement as well, which we've seen, I think, sort of the outcome of that is that over the years we have seen lots of local disadvantaged businesses that have flourished because of that requirement. Lots of local disadvantaged businesses that have gone on to hire lots of D.C. and disadvantaged people, as especially local D.C. residents as a part of that. And I think that what we've also created is a culture in Washington, D.C., where that is the expectation. You can't just come and be a majority owner and do a project with the city. You've got to, and that's no matter where you are, you've got to also have your CBE requirement and your CBE partners as a part of that deal.
Thank you so much, Tierra. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I need to take another break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Jason in D.C. So, Jason, hang on. After the commercial break, you will be the first person on the line. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about D.C. economic development. What's ahead? What's in the hopper? What's it look like, and what does that look like for D.C. residents? We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you need expert advice from successful business leaders on how to...
CSXM Channel 141, I'm Harold Fisher. I wanted to give you an update on the arrest of the suspect in the multiple shootings in Edgewood, Maryland, and Wilmington, Delaware. Radhi Prince, 37-year-old Radhi Prince, has been arrested in Wilmington, Delaware. Of course, he is the primary suspect in the shooting of five people and killing of three in Edgewood, Maryland this morning. Also, he is suspected of shooting a man at a car dealership in Wilmington, Delaware. He has been arrested. And of course, the latest will be on the Steve Harvey Morning Show with Taylor Thomas tomorrow morning. We continue our discussion about economic development in D.C. with Brian Kinner, D.C. Deputy Mayor of Planning and Economic Development. I'm going to go back to the phone lines. Jason calling from D.C. Jason, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, how are you?
My question is concerning the displacement of residents. You know, anytime there's a economic development that occurs in D.C., it always usually means that there are going to be displacement of residents. Now, my question is there going to be any provisions made for the people that these developments are going to affect? I mean, is there any provision that's going to provide housing or anything of that nature for the people that that live there already?
Yeah. Again, thank you for the question. I think, you know, again, one of the things that we're really focused around is this housing issue. And, you know, I think that actually it's been a source of strength, really, over the last 3 years or so. D.C. was just awarded the Urban Land Institute sort of prestigious Larson Award around its affordable housing efforts. You know, we have devoted a significant amount of money, not just for the production of housing, but really for the preservation of housing. And sort of an important distinction to make there is that we can either give money for projects that are going to be building new housing, or we can give money to existing projects to really keep them affordable. And I think that we have had a focus on trying to make sure that we have a good balance of the new production of housing, which would be new affordable units that would go up in lots of our locations, but also being focused on making sure that we keep existing product affordable. We know that as development comes to neighborhoods, there can be an incentive for some to take advantage of that in the form of either selling their buildings or repositioning their buildings for other economic uses, which can cause the previous tenants to either not be there anymore or to have to think about other consequences around higher rents or different living situations. And so, you know, the fact that I think that we've been very judicious about trying to make sure that we've got resources. And at this point, over the last 3 years, those resources would probably be north of about $120 million that are specifically going to keeping much of the housing all over the city affordable has been something that we've been focused on. You know, one of the things also that I just want to point out is that I know some of the focus has been particularly on those areas east of the river. Affordable housing is important everywhere in D.C. And, you know, in some ways it's just as important in areas that have already experienced development where there's even fewer opportunities for affordable housing. That's actually one of the reasons why, you know, we also have been focused on making sure that we've got affordable housing in wards 3 and wards 4 and 5 and 6 and 1 and 2, because we know that the affordable housing issue isn't something that's strictly limited to east of the river communities. People need affordable housing everywhere. So we've tried to be very focused on that.
Jason, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. I want to talk to you about Amazon. Tomorrow is the Amazon Headquarters 2 deadline, October 19th. A lot of people have been talking about it. A lot of municipal leaders have put a bid in. Louisville, Detroit, New York, Prince George's County, Baltimore City, Baltimore County, just to name a few. And, of course, Washington, D.C. Do you think that D.C.'s chances are realistic, considering, yes, there is room here, but everyone has something that they're selling? What is the big selling point?
Yeah. So maybe try to answer your first question and then the selling point question. I think that we do have a shot. I think that the Wall Street Journal, CNN Money, other sort of pundits who have tried to handicap this race put Washington, D.C. in particular, in sort of the top five, sometimes the top two in terms of people who they think could be sort of competitive around this. It's unfortunate that they don't actually get to pick where this thing goes, but other people seem to think that we have some of the qualities that Amazon might potentially be interested in. In terms of our selling points, you know, I think that's one of the great parts about the solicitation when it came out, was that we really felt like it spoke to many of the things that are competitive advantages for Washington, D.C. It asked about transit. And if you go to Seattle to their existing Amazon campus, you'll quickly learn that getting around without a car is a must around their campus. And we know that they're focused on finding additional ways for people to either get to work at their new campus or get around their new campus. We also know that the solicitation spoke to having vibrant neighborhoods, to being in an amenity-rich area. And we think that in Washington, D.C., we specialize in that. We think we've got great restaurants and shopping and entertainment options. We've got sort of a lifestyle that not only their employees, I think, benefit from, but our residents obviously benefit from. And then, you know, finally, I think that a selling point for Washington is that, you know, the Jeff Bezos, the founder and the CEO of Amazon, thinks about things in terms of 100 years. He doesn't think about things in terms of 5, 10, 20 years. He thinks about, where is his company going to be in 100 years? And in Washington, D.C., I think we have one of those unique advantages in that Washington, D.C. is going to continue to be the global capital that it is. It's going to continue to be the capital of the free world. It's going to continue to be relevant 100 years from today, the same way that it is today. And if Amazon is looking for a place that will be durable and will be relevant 100 years from today, just like its company, we feel like Washington, D.C. is obviously the place that it should be.
I want to go back to something a little more specific about Ward 7. With plans to develop and bring some economic vibrancy against, generally speaking, obviously east of the river, but specifically in Ward 7, what do you do about the, you know, the perception and the reputation of public safety crime? And I bring this up because, having been here, you know, a really long time, there are people, even though Southeast has the highest points of land in D.C., but all and in Ward 7, you know, Northeast, you know, obviously right next to Northeast, but there's still a perception that it has a crime problem. And if you're going to bring new development there, outside grocery stores and other businesses may look at it askance. How do you address that?
You know, I think part of it is showing them the reality. Sometimes their perception of reality can be a little bit skewed. You know, having also lived in Washington for 20 years or so, I've seen lots of areas of D.C. and have lived in lots of places in Washington, D.C. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that Washington has some of the most unique, vibrant communities everywhere, particularly east of the river, nationally. And part of that answer then is showing retailers or showing business people the reality of what it is to be in these communities. You know, we have at times not only spoken to, you name the retailer that's interested in coming here or who's already here and thinking about expanding, but we've taken them on tours specifically of sites east of the river to make sure that they understand the reality around car counts, the reality around walkability for these communities, the reality around disposable income around these communities, which I think sometimes even our existing residents are surprised by how much disposable income they actually have to spend. And that's the language that businesses speak. They speak the language of opportunities. They speak the language of capacity. And, you know, Washington, D.C., you know, it's really a testament to to D.C.'s longevity, has tremendous abilities to be able to speak that language, and I think has tremendous abilities to expand.
But certainly public safety is a serious consideration. And, you know, and again, we've, you know, it's not like the old days. We have the internet, and any CEO or COO or chief development officer or what have you can find out what's happening on, you know, daily, you know, and again, I speak about, you know, some of the difficulties that Ward 7 has had over the past several years, a reporter who was shot, a crime still unsolved, the ghastly attack on a Metro bus driver several weeks ago. So how do you, car count and disposable income notwithstanding, how do you sell a public safety concern?
You know, the thing that I like to focus on is opportunity. You know, I know that Washington, D.C., you know, I think over the last, in particular, the last 4 or 5 years, I think we're down to one of our lowest total crime rates in the city ever. And I know that I think the Chief Newsom is doing a great job of, just like Chief Lanier before him, of making sure that we focus on those hot spots, those areas that we know potentially have had repetitive crime elements as a part of it. But, you know, that's one of the advantages that I have in that I'm the deputy mayor for planning and economic development, not the deputy mayor for public safety. And so, you know, my job is to be the optimist, and my job is to make sure that they understand the reality. And, you know, that's the part that I think is actually what makes my job so interesting, is that I see opportunity, and that's what I'm trying to make sure that others see. And whether that's D.C. residents, whether that's an ANC commissioner, or whether that's the CEO of Target, I'm trying to make sure that they see the opportunity. And, you know, the mayor has been very clear with me. I need to be selling that opportunity, in particular in areas that have not seen that kind of economic development before.
Okay. Well, Brian Kinner, D.C. Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development, thanks for coming in. Good luck. And we'll be watching.
Harold, thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. For this Wednesday, October 18th, I'm Harold Fisher. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.